The song that we're about to sing is entitled, My Hope is in the Lord. And that's the only place that we can put our hope. But you'll listen to the words. You'll catch the meaning there. Place it makes any difference at all. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to John chapter 3. While I'm trying to acquire satellite, there we go. All kinds of gizmos up here. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, as we've been talking about, and that's a time to remember the military that have died, who gave all to keep this country free. And as I said, that there have been many thoughts that I've had on that in this past week, looking forward to this day and preparing myself to preach. It's because of their sacrifice that we can sit here this morning and the freedom to be able to preach the Word of God and to worship the Lord in the freedoms that we have and enjoy here in America. There are so many places around the world today that do not have that freedom, that are meeting in underground churches and so forth, and or in fear of being not only ridiculed, but actually put in prison and so forth because of their faith and because of their worship. Well, thank the Lord that we have that freedom, but please understand, as we say all, every year there, that freedom is not free. It costs a great deal in the sacrifices of those that we have talked about already. But not only do we see today is remembering there with Memorial Day of the military that have died, but today is also a memorial of Jesus Christ. And it's because on Sunday we meet because of His resurrection from the dead. So every Sunday that we meet, we're remembering, in a sense, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's that day in which we meet for the very purpose of it there. He gave His life for our spiritual freedom from the bondage of sin and of Satan. And because of that, we can have the freedom to not only be free of the penalty of our sin, but also the very power of sin over us. We don't have to yield to it anymore. We have a choice. And so it is that constant struggle that goes on, that every day we must choose to live by the faith that God has given us and by the power that He has implanted in us through the Holy Spirit, that we can have victory over the temptations that come our way. We don't have to give in. Those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior are still under bondage. And while Satan does not really bother them too much because he has them right where he wants them already, they are in the bondage of sin. And they do not have the victory that they could know through the Lord Jesus Christ because they do not know Him personally as their Savior. So each day there, each time we meet there, we are recognizing what Jesus Christ has given. And each day of our lives there is a memorial of us, of our lives. What kind of a legacy are we leaving to those behind us? When I use the word legacy, a lot of times people think of financially. And certainly, as parents, we ought to seek to be able to have some type of a legacy financially with our children, even though sometimes it's very difficult in the world in which we live. But I tell you that there are many other things than finances that can be left to those behind us that is much more important. For instance, morally, what kind of a legacy are you leaving to you, to those that watch you, to those that see your life, etc.? Spiritually, what kind of a legacy are you leaving behind to those of your children and grandchildren? So it's this legacy that comes into play there. And I've divided the messages this morning in these three categories there. A memorial there of the military, a memorial of Jesus Christ, and a memorial of my life and yours and what it should be. So let's ask God's blessing as we look this morning. Father, we thank You for Your Word that has given us the truth in which we can hold, in which we can believe, in which we can base our lives upon. And I pray this morning, Lord, that You would help me to be able to share very clearly the things in which You've laid upon my heart, the things, Lord, of Your Word that teaches, that we would listen with 100% of concentration upon these things. And, Lord, I pray that if there's any area of our life that You seek to touch this morning, that we would surrender it unto You and that we would be willing to let You be Lord of all. Father, we recognize that if You're not Lord of all, You're not Lord of any of us. And I pray that You would take that and drill it home in our hearts and minds in such a powerful way. Now, blessed Father, I pray through Your Holy Spirit's power in each one of us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want us to look here first at this memorial of the military. As I mentioned so often here today, Memorial Day is an official holiday in which is recognized by, I believe, about all of our states and in the United States here, and has been for quite a few, quite a long time, actually. It's also known as Decoration Day, the custom of decorating, putting flowers on war graves started back as early as 1866, I've been told, and there in Waterloo, New York. And after World War I, the day was set aside to honor the dead from all American wars. And so it is that in which we celebrate, in which we remember with all that has been given unto us. And many, as I said, see this time or this weekend as just a 3-day holiday, so to speak. And they may make stretch it into almost 4 days. I know Friday around lunchtime, it got busy out on the highways. There were a lot of people leaving work, shooting home, and then changing clothes, jumping in the car, and they were taking off for a long weekend. There were some businesses that closed at lunchtime on Friday and not going to open until Tuesday morning. And all that's on their mind primarily is about what kind of fun we're going to have, what are we going to go do, and how we're going to celebrate it, etc. There's not really a lot of remembering there of the reason why we have Memorial Day. And that's unfortunate there. And I'm not against having a good time and celebrating with family and friends, etc. There are a lot of things. Matter of fact, there was a party here in Holly Hill Subdivision last night. And some of the cars were still there in the driveway this morning. Evidently, they made it all night to venture. They probably were too drunk to drive home. But anyway, those type of things get done and are held and are celebrated, etc., in those ways. But as Christians, I think that we have to be careful that we do not forget what it's all about and forget why we're having the Memorial Day there. And it's because of them, because of the freedoms that we enjoy and that are owed unto these that have given of their lives, etc. there, it's because of them that we have the right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. It is the right that we have to have live at peace in our homes. It is the right that we have to freely proclaim the Word of God in a church service like this. I was at home here yesterday and waiting for Lisa and Josh to get in, and I was thinking about, you know, here we live in a nice neighborhood, except for some parties every once in a while, and we have a quiet area back there where we live, and you can sit out on the porch or you can walk out in your yard, and you don't have to be looking around to see if there's anybody with guns or military and so forth going on. It is such a peace that we take for granted so often. We don't think about how good we have it here in the United States. But it has been both designed by those of our forefathers, and it has been secured by those in the military past and being secured by those in military present, that we have these freedoms that we enjoy today, and we should not forget there. Don't forget the sacrifices of the military, both past and present. But we also have a memorial today of Jesus Christ. We observe Memorial Day here once a year with the military, etc. But as I said there are many memorials that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, every Sunday is a memorial remembering of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there are other occasions, too, in which we have special services and special times to remember. For instance, Christmas is one of those. We remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Easter, with His death there and resurrection from the dead. Those are important. We observe the Lord's Supper, in which it says, "This do in remembrance of Me." It's a memorial unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of these are ways in which we remember what He has done, and hopefully, as it is with the military, hopefully that with Jesus Christ, these aren't the only times that we remember and are thankful, grateful for what we have. But in our memorial of Jesus Christ, there are three things that I think are important. We need to remember the reason why He went to the cross. Secondly, we need to remember His life and what it meant and what it means to us today. And we are reminded to express our gratitude. So in those three things there, I want you to get these. Number one there, remember why He died. It was not for anything wrong in which He had done. It is because of my sin and yours that Jesus Christ went to the cross. We as believers understand that. And I hope that there's no one here today that does not have that picture of understanding in your mind there. Jesus Christ is the one that was totally without sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that for He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. They're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that knew no sin, He made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, here is the swap. Jesus Christ, who was righteous, who had no sin whatsoever, and here is Randy Blackwell, that has sin, even in the best that I can ever do, my righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's eyes. And so I am full of sin, I am full of filthiness, and Jesus Christ, God, loved me so much that Jesus Christ came and He took my sin, my filthiness, and He put it upon Himself, and He took His righteousness, and He put it upon me. And that took place the day that I understood that I had a need as a sinner. Excuse my coughs. I got a remedy. Some good ice water. I had a need, and that need was that because I was a sinner, I was doomed to hell. You know that we're born in this world doomed to hell. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not what? Should not.
What does perish mean there? It doesn't mean to be annihilated.
But He's talking about hell. It would not have to die and go to hell. God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son for that reason. I realized that I had a need. And when I realized I had a need, and then I understand that Jesus Christ came to meet that need and to provide for me the forgiveness of my sin and give me the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So when God the Father looks at Randy Blackwell, He doesn't see this pastor up here that's trying to do a good job and he ought to make it to heaven. No. If that's what I'm depending on, I'm going to hell. But I'm depending on what Jesus Christ did alone. And based on that and me having Christ's righteousness, when God the Father looks at me, He says, "You're worthy to come into heaven because you have the robe of righteousness from my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." That's the only way I'll make it. That's the only way anybody will make it. You know why?
Because that's the plan that God made. That's the way that God says. You know, since it's God's heaven, don't you think we better try to get there God's way? No other way will work. There's no other mediator between God and men except for Jesus Christ. He is the only one.
And so that is the way in which we see there. And John 3 continues to say after verse 16 there, verse 17 says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Excuse me. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Condemned being judged and perishing in hell for all eternity. "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Get the picture here. God says, "I didn't send Jesus Christ to condemn the world. I sent Jesus Christ to save the world." But understand this, He says. If you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're no longer condemned. But the person that has not put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're already condemned because we were born that way. We were born as sinners. We were born headed toward hell. And if God did not intervene, all of us would have died and perished in hell.
But God did intervene. And now the question is, what's your response?
Do you trust what He did to be your payment of sin? Or are you holding back and saying, "You know, I think if I just try my best to do good enough, God and I'll be okay." I've talked to people with that type of an attitude. And they say those type of things. "You know, me and God, we're okay." I've never known a person that's genuinely saved make a statement like that. Not if they understand who God is. I am headed to heaven only because Jesus Christ died and paid the penalty. And I am depending upon that only to get me there. And that's the only way anybody can ever come to God, is by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Nothing else will ever get them there. Nothing else will ever matter. That's why in verse 36, He says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That means we're going to live with God in heaven for all eternity. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The wrath of God's judgment. They'll not have life eternal in heaven, but they'll have to suffer in hell in its torment because of the lack of their decision or their rejection of Jesus Christ. Jesus died so that we could have our sin penalty forgiven. He died there so that we could have everlasting life given unto us by the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore that we could live with Him and God the Father in heaven for all eternity. The author of Amazing Grace, John Newton, he had a great difficulty with his memory. In the latter days of his life, a friend asked him if he still had a bad memory. Newton replied, "Yes, I do, but I remember two things. I am a great sinner, and I have a great Savior." If you can't remember but two things, I think there are two great things you can remember. We are a great sinner, but we have a great Savior, and He has given everything. Remember why He died. It was for you and for me. Remember how He lived. Notice here, why did Christ live with mankind? Why did He come into this world? Well, certainly we could say He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and I just covered that there, why He died. He came to die. Jesus was born to die. But also there are other things that come into play there. Number one, He came to be an example unto us of how to live. We have some examples of His living there, and the example that He was to us in Scripture, how that Jesus had compassion upon others, especially the lost. It says there in Matthew how that when He looked upon the people there, He had compassion for them as they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had compassion for others. We ought to have compassion for others as well. Even for others that we disagree with in their thinking. Even for others that have mocked our God, that have made fun of His Word. Those that have rejected outright what He says, we ought to still have compassion for them. Should not be our anger. It is where they are that they need. They are like a sheep without a shepherd, and they need the truth of God's Word. But He is an example there of compassion. He is an example of service and humility. Remember there when Jesus was with His disciples once, that He girded Himself with a towel and a washing basin there, and He got down to wash the disciples' feet. When He got through, He said, "I've done this as an example for you to follow." Excuse me. He was not trying to teach us that we ought to, this morning, get out to bowl and wash everybody's feet, even though it may need it. But He was showing us the example of humility in whatever service we do. There's all kinds of things that need to be done. And sometimes they're very nasty type jobs. Right, Paul? This past Wednesday night, we had a present left to us out here on the back walk by one of the neighborhood dogs. Paul is a humble servant of the Lord. There are all kinds of menial type services that Jesus Christ says, "I want you to be a humble servant to others." He is an example of surrender. "Not my will, but thine be done," He said to the Father. God the Son, Creator of all things, submitted unto His Father. And He is the example of sacrifice. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus Christ said it. Jesus Christ did it. He is an example of living. He is an educator of truth. In John chapter 1, excuse me, in verse 1 there, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten Son, only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Over in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 37, when Jesus stood before Pilate there before His crucifixion, one of the statements that Jesus made, He says, "To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Jesus Christ came as an educator of the truth. He is not only the way, but He is the truth. He is the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And so He came as an educator of the truth. He came to experience a variety of situations in life that He could personally say to us that I know what you're feeling. I know what you're going through. And you know, some people still try to say, well, Jesus couldn't really know what I'm going through today. They didn't have drugs back in His day. Really? Let me tell you what... First of all, do you believe John 3:16? Do you believe Hebrews 4:15? Good answer. Yeah. You don't know what it is, but if it's in the Bible, I believe it. Right? That ought to be the answer, right? If it's in the Bible, you believe it? Here it is. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted or tested like as we are, yet without sin. We don't have a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. In other words, He can be. He was. He did experience it. Do you believe that? It's in God's Word. It is the truth, whether you believe it or not. So you better believe it. He experienced a variety of situations there, so that He could be a sympathetic Savior to us. And that's exactly what He is there. That's some of the reasons of why He came to live there. I want to tell you again, here another one, where why did Christ live again? Why did He rise from the dead? Here are some passages right here. In Romans 14, verses 8 and 9, it says, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. All right? Let me stop right there and say, do you know that when Jesus Christ died and rose again, when He offered salvation to me and I received Him as my Savior, not only was I given His righteousness, not only was I given eternal life to live forever with God in heaven, but He became, the Lord Jesus Christ, became my personal Lord, my Master, in that transaction. It wasn't just a free get-out-of-hell card that I can play at death and I go on to heaven, but is a relationship with a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, that began there on the day in 1969 in January when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. When that took place, there's a journey that began. There's a relationship that began. And there was a learning of that truth in that relationship that He's not just my Savior, but He is my Lord. I belong to Him. I am bought with a price. Therefore, in verse 9, He says, for to this end, for this reason, Christ both died and rose and revived there, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Jesus Christ died on Calvary and rose again so that we would belong to Him. We're bought with a price. And that He would be our Lord from then on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe one of the greatest chapters in Scripture, for its practicality to us as believers. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, it says, and He that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Once Jesus Christ died for us, He did it so that we could live for Him. That frog in my throat's having a dance. The point is this. The very reason that Paul the Apostle said in Galatians 2:20 that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was saying there, I recognize that he's my Savior. I recognize he's my Lord. I recognize that he is the one that I'm subservient to. I recognize that he should live his life through me and that I shouldn't try to live my life just the way I want to anymore. Excuse me. That's the point of why Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that he might be Lord of both. So we see the memorial of the military. We see the memorial of Jesus Christ. We're to remember to express our gratitude. And then there is the memorial of my life and of yours. Please understand that our influence that we have on the lives of others does not end at our death. It continues. Hebrews 11 is a passage in which we call the chapter of faith in Scripture because it gives so much that we can have there of the truth of these people that died, that had lived by faith and followed the Lord and done so successfully by God's help. And we're told then in chapter 12 and verse 1 of Hebrews, wherefore, seeing that we have are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we have all these witnesses in chapter 11 there that testify to us and encourage us, etc. there, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In other words, seeing we have all these examples of people that live by faith, they follow the Lord step by step, and they allow God to help them to do that, we have, and it can be done, then let us live in the same way. Let us seek to take step by step and run the race, the life that God has put before us, and to do it while trusting Him. What an example we would be to others. The song there, Find Us Faithful, came to my mind, taken from this passage right here. We're pilgrims on a journey of a narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a steering testament to God's sustaining grace. And that's what they were in chapter 11. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. You know that it is great to look at the Christian life and say, Lord, I want to live the Christian life in victory so that I can have rewards in heaven one day. That's the prize. But it says in the song there, we shouldn't just do it for the prize. That's kind of a little selfishness, isn't it? But if we are living in such a way that God says that we will be rewarded in heaven, then we're living in such a way that will be a good example to those that are coming behind watching us. And believe me when I say, people are watching you. Parents, your children are watching. Your grandchildren watching. Students, your fellow students are watching you. Your co-workers are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. People at church are watching you. There's constantly people that are looking at our lives and they're determining, you know, is that person real or not? Is their faith real? Is their God real? Or not? Should I put any weight in what they say based on how they live? That's exactly the point that God wants to make in our lives today. A memorial of our life, my life and yours, is one in which we recognize there are people that are watching, looking at the decisions that we make. How do we respond in the pressured moments? How do we respond through the long days, the long trails? Do we stick with it? Are we faithful? Do we fall away? Oh, may all that come behind us find us faithful, the song says. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. What a testimony that would be. I would be satisfied with my life if it could be testified that I was seen as being faithful to those that watched. What a joy. We will all influence other people, as I mentioned, friends, co-workers, etc. there. The question is not whether or not you'll influence them. The question is, what kind of influence will you be? You can look at that and say, hey, you're either a good one or you're a bad one. Could I say there's another part of bad? You're a good one, that's obvious. You're doing the right things, you're being faithful, you're trusting the Lord to do it, etc. A bad one is, you know, you're doing the wrong things, I understand that. But what about the mediocre Christian? What did God say, what did the Lord Jesus say about the mediocre Christian in Revelation? I spew you out of my mouth, you make me sick. Is that a good example? No, that's a bad example. They may not be doing all the sin that's over here, but they're just getting by and not rocking the boat and just, you know, not really doing anything for the Lord either. That's not a good example. So my question to you today is, where do you fall? What kind of example are you? Good? Bad? Including mediocre? You have a choice. What influences are you setting in motion today that will affect people later? You have a choice. So we're to remember the people who sacrificed their years, their limbs, and their lives for our freedoms here in the country. We're to remember God who gave His Son and Jesus Christ who gave His life that we could have eternal life to live with them in heaven. We're to be grateful. We're to say so. We're certainly to live for Him who died for us to make Him Lord. Let Him live through us. And we're to remember our obligation and our opportunity to be a living example to those who come behind us, that they may find us faithful. Every head bow, please. With that in mind, could I ask a couple of questions? Number one, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ who died and rose for you? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ who died and rose for you? I'm not saying, I'm not asking, do you know about Him? But I'm asking, do you know personally the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there been a time in your life that you realized that you were a sinner, you realized what He did for you, and by faith you made a choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? At that moment, salvation took place. Have you ever experienced that salvation choice in your life before? If you have not, then you know about Jesus Christ, but you do not know Him personally. And you're on your way to hell, according to God's Word that we have seen today. But He has given His life to freely offer to you forgiveness of your sin, His righteousness in your place of your sin, and eternal life to live with Him in heaven. He has given you the possibility of having the power over the temptation of sin in your life so that you don't have to give in to it anymore. And He's given you the Holy Spirit to live within you to help you to be able to accomplish living for the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that would please Him. That all takes place at salvation and much more. But if you've never made that choice, why not make that choice today? Why put it off any longer? And then, believer, are you living for Him who died and rose to be your Lord? As I said earlier, salvation makes Him your Lord, not just a ticket to heaven. By your example, would others follow you in faithfulness? Or would they see a mediocre Christian? You have a choice where you'll start today. Father, I pray that as we have heard your word, we have listened, I pray that your Holy Spirit has opened our eyes to see exactly where we are in these areas. I pray that we would make the choice that you have laid upon our hearts right now that you're dealing with. Help us not to resist, Lord, to submit to what you want to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn number 282. As we sing it, if you need to speak to me about trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't put that off. Immediately, as soon as we start to sing, you come down the aisle. I don't want you to miss that opportunity there. Let's make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ today. Believer, if you need to speak to me about a decision or if you just need to come to the altar, come on this first verse. As we stand together and sing, please.